Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 41 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Monday, February 6, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A regional native corporation from Barrow is making inroads into southeast Alaska. The Arctic Slope Regional Corporation purchased the business of McGraw Custom Construction, which has been in Sitka for 30 years. McGraw is a frequent bidder on public works projects in Sitka and communities across southeast Alaska. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, Arctic Slope's purchase of McGraw could be a sign of companies positioning themselves to benefit from Sitka's ambitious public works agenda.
McGraw Custom Construction has been in business since 1978, and its work is visible across southeast. They built the Sitka Fire Hall and Craig High School, along with Petersburg's Aquatic Center and Wrangell's Wastewater Treatment Plant. Its acquisition presents a foray into southeast for the Barrow-based Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, which has 11,000 Inupiaq shareholders.
The larger Arctic Slope Corporation is looking to make a presence in southeast Alaska.
That's Sitka Public Works Director Michael Harmon at an assembly meeting in late December.
They believe the McGraw name and group have a good reputation in southeast, and so they're buying into that and creating a home office in Sitka and intending to go after any and all projects they can get their hands on.
Chuck McGraw, who started McGraw Custom Construction, said he's now an employee of the ASRC subsidiary and has been asked to refer reporters to the company's press office. Company officials did not respond to repeated requests for an interview. ASRC spokesman Ty Hart sent a statement acknowledging ASRC's purchase of McGraw. It offered no details about the transaction. But one thing is clear. Sitka has tens of millions of dollars in public works projects to accomplish in the next few years.
We have 55 major capital projects is what we call it, and those are the projects large enough that we have to bid them out, so that's above $50,000.
Harmon says he doesn't know if ASRC's purchase is a one-off or a sign of things to come.
Well, we really don't know if, you know, this will be the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, of more maneuvers for companies to come in and position for all this work. But I would say, Ed, that it wasn't a surprise to see that to start happening, and it would not surprise me to see more of that because this is a lot of work.
In the next year alone, Sitka hopes to begin work on a seawalk, upgrades to Centennial Hall, a deep water dock at the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, and more. Just those three projects are worth more than $15 million, but the most recent version of the full list spans 5 years and more than $130 million. Harmon says the updated five-year plan, which will add in work on Sitka's harbors and roads, could exceed $200 million. That's a lot to accomplish and a lot to bid on for companies looking to do the work. These projects are just starting to pique the interest of companies, but then there's the granddaddy of all Sitka projects, a $100 million plan to raise the Blue Lake Dam. That project, which is separate from the city's public works master plan, has been getting a lot of attention. Chris Bruton is Sitka's utility director.
I've had a couple experiences with folks actually coming through town on a cruise ship visit and actually stop by and ask about the project.
The city hasn't put the construction work on Blue Lake out for bid yet. The contract is estimated to be worth about $50 million and could have a construction crew between 50 and 100 people. Bruton says the attention from the companies is a good thing.
We'd rather have a large selection of qualified bidders to choose from. That's going to help the city get the best product for the price versus having one or two that Dean's training along the way. So I think that's to our advantage.
Dean is Dean Orbison, the project engineer for Blue Lake. He says the project could mean local jobs, but that where the workers come from is entirely up to whichever contractor does the work.
Quite frankly, if they're local, he doesn't have to pay per diem, and so if there are local qualified people available, he will certainly look at them because he makes more money that way. If there aren't local people qualified that he can't make money with, which is his goal, he will bring them in from outside.
Blue Lake construction is estimated to take 2 years, beginning in January of 2013. The city's other public works projects are staggered over a five-year span. All of them, city officials say, mean lots of work and lots of attention from contractors in the next few years. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Should the city and borough of Juneau be regulating development near Eagle Nest, and if so, to what extent? Juneau's Planning Commission will take a look at those questions over the next several months and make a recommendation to the Juneau Assembly. After failing to reach consensus on the issue the first time round, the commission will have its work cut out for it. Casey Kelly has more.
Last week, the Juneau Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend the Assembly retain the city's entire Eagle Nest ordinance. But as Chairman Mike Satre told the Assembly on Monday, how they got to that decision was quite interesting.
I dare say there was 9 different opinions on the board that night in terms of getting to a no vote or a lack of recommendation for this.
The proposal to do away with the ordinance was sparked by an application for a variance submitted last year by the State Department of Transportation for a road construction project 30 miles out Glacier Highway. The project is in the vicinity of several eagle nests and involves rock blasting to realign the road. Bald eagles were removed from the endangered species list in 2007, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has relaxed federal protections for the birds. In fact, developers can now apply for a federal permit allowing them to take or kill an eagle by accident. Previously, any death, intentional or not, was against the law. The agency also stopped providing opinions to the city regarding its Eagle Nest ordinance in 2008. The city ordinance has been on the books since at least the late 1980s. It restricts development within 330 feet of an eagle nest. City Manager Rod Swope, who has an undergraduate degree in biology, asked the Community Development Department to rewrite the rule to be more in line with federal regulations.
We frequently get into situations where we may be dealing with fish and wildlife resources, and we have no biologists, and quite frankly, we really have no credibility to be making conditions and decisions on those resources contrary to what a state or federal agency may be suggesting.
Community Development Director Dale Pernua revised the ordinance as Swope directed. Since 1995, Pernua says there have been 37 applications for variances from the rule. He says 3 of those were withdrawn, 1 appeared to go nowhere at the Planning Commission, and 33, including the state DOT project, were approved, usually with conditions.
Some of them are fairly costly. Sometimes it requires an eagle nest monitor to watch to see what kinds of activities are interfering with the nesting activities. Probably the most onerous conditions that we've had were with respect to blasting. We had some conditions that they could not blast at certain times of the year because it would interfere with those nesting activities.
Conservation groups are fighting changes to the ordinance. Jeff Sauer, vice president of the Juneau chapter of the Audubon Society, says in many cases the local rule is the only thing protecting eagles.
The federal fish and wildlife permit, it's not mandatory. It costs $500, and for small developers and for citizens, they simply won't apply. They won't spend $500 on a permit when they don't have to. That leaves the borough ordinance as it in many, many small cases.
The Assembly sent the ordinance back to the Planning Commission without any specific instructions for how it should be revised, if at all. Assemblyman Randy Wanamaker said his feeling is that the city ordinance should not be more stringent than federal rules.
Alaska's a vast state and the eagles are virtually everywhere. And we have federal policy, federal guidelines, and the city should be consistent with federal guidelines.
But Assemblyman Jesse Keel said there's a reason the ordinance has been on the books for so long, community values.
CBJ is really, in our land use and planning processes and permitting processes, looking more and more often at the community value element. And so I'm inclined to keep these ordinances on the books for now and encourage the Planning Commission and other appropriate agencies to see if we can find a way to make them more flexible if that's a need.
Planning Commission Chair Satre said the ordinance will initially go to the Commission's Title 49 Committee for review. Title 49 is the section of city code dealing with land use rules and regulations. Satre thinks the Planning Commission could have a recommendation for the Assembly by this summer. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
A 10th grader at Petersburg High School has won a statewide contest promoting respect. Diane Murph's poster was named Best in Show in a contest put on by Governor Sean Parnell. It's part of the Parnell administration's Choose Respect effort to combat domestic violence and sexual assault. She spoke with KFSK's Joe Vicnicki about her winning work.
They actually took me into the library, and I had no idea what was happening, and I saw this giant screen, and they actually, I had a video conference with the governor.
And he gave you the news?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Really excited.
Yeah. When did you put the poster together?
Well, I found out about the contest in late October, early November, and I actually spent a couple months, till the beginning of December working on it, off and on the weekends.
And could you describe it maybe for people listening to the radio? What does it look like?
Well, it says respect in big letters. It's kind of a graffiti font. And then underneath it says pass it on.
And lots of color in there, it looks like.
Yes, lots of color, definitely.
So by winning, I understand you get an ice cream party for your class, is that right?
Well, actually, since they have to fly down the ice cream, and since we have such a small school, they're going to provide ice cream for the whole school.
Oh, for the whole school, wow. Mm-hmm. So you must be a pretty popular person.
I guess so.
What was your inspiration for even doing this? Did you take part in the whole rally that happened last year?
No, I wasn't able to. I actually just saw it in the announcements, and I just thought I might as well make a poster.
Petersburg sophomore Diane Murph. Choose Respect marches are planned in 100 communities around Alaska on March 29th. Storm weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for cloudy this morning, then becoming sunny. Scattered rain showers this morning, highs around 46. With east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.